We welcome everyone to the funeral for Willard Jean Newsma. Family appreciates you being here with them. And we will begin our worship singing number 44, How Great Thou Art, number 44. Please stand. Please be seated. This time I'll read the obituary for Willard Jean Newsma. Willard Jean Newsma was born on November 22, 1940, in Emmons County, North Dakota, the third child of William and Bertha Newsma. He was raised south of Hall, North Dakota on the family farm. Willard passed away on June 17, 2026 in Howard, South Dakota, with his son Shane by his side. He attended country school through the eighth grade. He was a man of strong work ethic and many talents. Throughout his lifetime, Willard worked in several occupations, including milk truck driver for the cheese plant, bulk gas truck driver, cattle broker, and farmer. He took pride in an honest day's work and in providing for his family. On December 20, 1961, Willard married the love of his life, Sylvia Vandervorst, at Sylvia's parents' home northwest of Westfield. Together they built a beautiful life filled with love, laughter, and a deep commitment to family, faith, and the land. Willard is survived by his son Shane Newsma and daughter-in-law Amanda Newsma Longy, daughter-in-law Shanna Mansfield Newsma of Kettridge, Colorado. He also is survived by his grandchildren, Troy's children, Christopher and Ryan Gehring, Dakota, Arena, and Tanner Newsma, and Shane's children, Chesney Ray Tillemans, Jackson, and Colson Newsma. Willard is survived by his sisters, Helen Heisinger of Edmonds, Washington, LaVon and Jim Rosso of Buffalo, Wyoming, and Vivian Vandervorst of Waukee, Iowa, brothers-in-law, Herb Newkircher of Arizona, and sisters-in-law, Gracie Newsma of Pollock, Sandy Geoffrey of Strasburg, and Lorraine Newsma of Sioux Center, Iowa. He was preceded in death by his wife, Sylvia, daughter Natalie, son Troy, and parents William and Bertha Newsma. Willard was also preceded in death by his brothers Franklin of Pollock and Edwin of Sioux Center, Iowa, sisters Carol Crawford, Newkircher, Gladys Dornbush Seymour, and brothers-in-law Lowell Seymour, Harlan Dornbush, Bob Crawford, Kurt Vandervorst, and Bob Heisinger. On behalf of the church here and the community, I want to extend our sympathy to Willard's son Shane and family and their loss, and all of Willard's relatives and friends. Let us worship God. Our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. For he knows how we are formed. He remembers that we are dust. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. I am the resurrection and the life, said the Lord. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hand. I know that my Redeemer lives, and that in the end he will stand upon the earth. And after my skin has been destroyed, yet in my flesh I will see God. I myself will see him with my own eyes, I and not another. How my heart yearns within me. None of us lives to himself alone. None of us dies to himself alone. If we live, we live to the Lord. And if we die, we die to the Lord. So whether we live or die, we belong to the Lord. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not be afraid. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion, the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles, so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God. Let's pray. Eternal God, we acknowledge the uncertainty of our life on earth. We are given a mere handful of days, and our span of life seems nothing in your sight. All flesh is as grass, and all its beauty is like the flower of the field. The grass withers and the flower fades, but your word will stand forever. In this is our hope, for you are our God. Even in the valley of the shadow of death, you are with us. O Lord, let us know our end and the number of our days that we may learn how fleeting life is. Turn your ear to our cry and hear our prayer. Do not be silent at our tears, for we live as strangers before you, wandering pilgrims as all our ancestors were. But you are the same, and your years shall have no end. Amen. I'd like to turn at this time to the Old Testament for some of the readings today, the first being a psalm of the oldest psalm in the Psalter, a psalm of Moses, a man of God, is the title of the psalm, Psalm 90. And we remember that Moses was with the people of God for 40 years in the wilderness, and they all had to die before the older generation, all had to die before the new generation entered the promised land. So Moses saw a lot of people dying. He saw a lot of funerals, and he's reflecting on it here. Lord, you have been our dwelling place throughout all generations. Before the mountains were born, or you brought forth the earth and the world, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. You turn men back to dust, saying, "Return to dust, O sons of men." For 1,000 years in your sight are like a day that has just gone by, or like a watch in the night. You sweep men away in the sleep of death. They are like the new grass of the morning. Though in the morning it springs up new, by evening it is dry and withered. We are consumed by your anger and terrified by your indignation. You set our iniquities before you, our secret sins, in the light of your presence. All our days pass away under your wrath. We finish our years with a moan. The length of our days is 70 years, or 80 if we have the strength. Yet their span is but trouble and sorrow, for they quickly pass, and we fly away. Who knows the power of your anger? For your wrath is as great as the fear that is due you. Teach us to number our days aright, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Relent, O Lord, how long will it be? Have compassion on your servants. Satisfy us in the morning with your unfailing love, that we may sing for joy and be glad all our days. Make us glad for as many days as you have afflicted us, for as many years as we have seen trouble. May your deeds be shown to your servants, your splendor to their children. May the favor of the Lord our God rest upon us. Establish the work of our hands for us. Yes, establish the work of our hands. And then on to the New Testament. Paul writes to the church at Rome. And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those he predestined, he also called. Those he called, he also justified. Those he justified, he also glorified. What then should we say in response to this? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own Son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who is he that condemns? Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered a sheep to be slaughtered. Knowing all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. From the book of Revelation, we read in chapter 21, then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, now the dwelling of God is with men. He will live with them. They will be his people. And God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. He who was seated on the throne said, I'm making everything new.
And then he said, write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. He said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To him who is thirsty, I will give to drink without cost from the spring of the water of life. He who overcomes will inherit all this, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. Let's pray together. Lord God, you are from everlasting to everlasting. Your days are without number. You are our creator. We are your creatures, creatures of dust, created to serve you, O Lord. Father, we confess that we have not loved you with all our heart, with all our mind and strength. We have not even loved our neighbor as you have commanded. You know the secret sins, as Moses wrote in the psalm. You know that we have all sinned and fallen short of perfect obedience, and we pray for your forgiveness, that you would cleanse us, that you would blot out our transgressions as we trust in Jesus Christ and his righteousness. Grant that all who have been baptized into Christ's death and resurrection may die to sin and rise to newness of life, and that through the grave and the gate of death we may pass with him to our joyful resurrection. We thank you for being our great creator and provider, and we acknowledge that each heartbeat and each breath is a gift from you. And we thank you for all that was good in Willard's life. We recognize your mercies and given him a long life. Remember also his sufferings of health and grief in these last difficult years, and particularly these last months. We thank you that for Willard, pain has ended and death has passed. Give us grace to entrust Willard to your never-failing love which sustained him in this life. We pray for Willard's son, Shane, daughter-in-law, Amanda, daughter-in-law, Shauna, and all grandchildren, sisters, brothers-in-law, sisters-in-law. Grant to all who mourn a sure confidence in your loving care, that casting all our sorrow, all their sorrow on you, they may know the consolation of your love. Give courage and faith to those who are bereaved. Pour out your comfort on the family and relatives of Willard and draw them to yourself. Give us a great gift of faith that we might look beyond the things of this world that we see to that eternal city that you have made, a place prepared by Jesus where there's no more death or mourning, or crying or pain. We'll give you praise in this life and in the world to come through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Call on Cody and Janelle this time to sing a duet, and their duet will be I'd Rather Have Jesus.
I'd rather have Jesus. vast domain, or beheld incense dread sway. I'd rather have Jesus than anything this world affords today. He's fairer than lilies of rarest bloom. He's sweeter than honey from out of the comb. He's all that my hungering spirit needs. I'd rather have Jesus and let him lead than to be the king of a vast domain, or be held in sense dread sway. I'd rather have Jesus than anything this world.
Thank you, Cody and Janelle and Joan. For the gospel reading today, I'll be reading from John chapter 5, starting at verse 24, a few verses. I'll be drawing from all the readings today in the sermon time. Hear the words of our Lord Jesus. I tell you the truth, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be condemned, is crossed over from death to life. I tell you the truth, the time is coming and has now come when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. For as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son to have life in himself, and he has given him authority to judge because he's the Son of Man. Do not be amazed at this, for a time is coming when all who are in their graves will hear his voice and come out. Those who have done good will rise to live. Those who have done evil will rise to be condemned. Let's pray. Lord, you have said that your word does not return to you void, but it accomplishes what you desire. And it goes forth to bring grace to believers and hardening of hearts to those who won't receive it. And we pray, God, today that we would have the blessing of the Holy Spirit bringing your grace to bear upon our lives. We would think your thoughts after you, that we would abandon our own ideas, knowing that your thoughts are higher than our thoughts, your ways greater than our ways, as far as the heavens are above the earth. And so, Lord, speak to us now, or your servants are listening. Amen. It was Sunday morning, the 24th of May, 1981, a week after Pollock High School's baccalaureate, and in the strange providence of God, I had preached a sermon at my sister's wedding south of Sioux Falls on Saturday night, and then we drove back to Pollock all through the night. And my plan was to get a few hours of sleep before the morning worship service here. And we walked in the door about 5:45 in the morning, and the phone was ringing, our landline was ringing, and we received the sad news that Natalie Newsma had died in a car accident a few hours before at the age of 18. A little while later, I drove out to the house in the country to be with the Newsmas, and I recall the great sadness of that experience. A large funeral was held in a school gym on the 27th of May.
I had part of the service, and Dale preached a sermon. And we went to the committal, and I had the committal service. It was the first time I had stood in the Hall Cemetery. So whenever I'm back in the Hall Cemetery, memories of Natalie still come back to me. I never thought of Willard and Sylvia without thinking of their loss of Natalie, knowing that a parent really never gets over the death of a child. And then in August of 2008, Willard's wife Sylvia died at the age of 63 following a battle with cancer. Putting myself in Willard's shoes, if I had to live the last 17 years of my life without my wife, I would regard that as a great hardship. Less than 2 years ago, in October, Willard lost his older son, Troy, at the age of 60, which grieved him deeply. Willard attended our worship services in the early 1980s, about the time of Natalie's death. He and Sylvia were never members here, and they both discontinued attending in the early 1980s. We maintained some connection so that when Sylvia was in the hospital, I made pastoral visits to her and had her funeral. And when Willard was in the hospital for various problems and in the nursing home for rehab, I made pastoral visits to him. And when Troy died, I visited Willard and we had his funeral here. And the times I spent with Willard were almost exclusively in the sad and trying experiences that he was going through. It reminds me of the teaching in the Heidelberg Catechism, question and answer 26, that is about the opening statement of the Apostles' Creed. What do you believe when you say, I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth? And the answer given is that the eternal Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who out of nothing created heaven and earth and everything in them, who still upholds and rules them by his eternal counsel and providence, is my God and Father because of Christ his Son. I trust God so much that I do not doubt he'll provide whatever I need for body and soul and will turn to my good whatever adversity he sends upon me in this sad world. God is able to do this because he is Almighty God and desires to do this because he is a faithful Father. It's an answer that we would benefit from reflecting on. And part of the answer is based on the verse in Romans that we read today. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. An essential biblical truth that we need to receive as God's people is that our Heavenly Father will turn to our good whatever adversity he sends upon us in this sad world. When we experience a terrible loss of a child or a grandchild or a spouse that just rips our heart out, how could God turn such a bad thing into what will be our ultimate good? We don't see any way that could possibly happen, not now and not in the future. But we are called to receive the Word of God by faith and to believe the promises. And faith is when you don't see it, but you believe it because God said so. We look at death, and death is so final. Human beings have solved a great many problems, but there's no human remedy available for those who have passed on. But we believe in God the Father Almighty, the Creator. Faith is essential for us to live the Christian life, and we are called to stand firm in the faith. God has provided us a means of grace to help keep our faith strong. Just as our bodies need food and water and air and exercise and sleep, so our souls need to be nourished and strengthened and rested. Faith comes by hearing the message, the Word of God, and the preaching of the Word. Holy Communion and congregational prayers are the means by which our soul stays healthy. We find those helpful blessings in the church. God has called us to worship him together with other believers and to fellowship weekly with other Christians, because it's hard to maintain faith in isolation. When we come to church, we sometimes struggle with personalities, but we find support when we go through hard times. As members of the body of Christ, we grieve with those who grieve. And in my own life, our family went through a terrible loss in late August, and the churches in Sioux Falls, where our sons attended, provided exceptional support and hospitality. God has provided the church to be a great help in those times in our lives when we go through loss and hardship. Many times the church is a place of work and sacrifice. It has to be if it's going to demonstrate Christian love and acts of service. But there's more to it than work. This is a time of year when many families have reunions. And for the obedient Christian, every Sunday in church is a family reunion of brothers and sisters in the Lord, fathers and mothers in the faith, along with little ones that need to be nurtured. I look forward every Sunday to seeing my brothers and sisters in the faith and being with my spiritual family. I hate to think of people missing out on that, especially people who live right here in the neighborhood. Jesus has required the people of his church to love one another as he loved each of us. And in the church, an experience of joy comes from that act of caring for one another. One of the supreme blessings of the church is the promise of Jesus that he will be present with us spiritually when we meet in his name. We learn his teachings that God made the world in perfection, but our first parents rebelled against God in the Garden of Eden, were driven out from the presence of God, and this world is no longer paradise because Adam was our representative and he sinned, and when he sinned, we sinned and fell with him. We are born into this world as sinners and rebels against God, and our sinful nature is undeniable as we examine our thoughts, words, and actions. And other people pointed that out to us throughout our lives. When Adam sinned, God said, "Dust you are." He made us from the dust, and to dust you shall return. And the reality is that we are facing death and punishment of a just God. But God sent his son Jesus into the world for our deliverance. His birth was announced by an angel as good news. The Savior born to us is Christ the Lord. He lived a perfect life and taught his followers how to live as God wants us to live. He went to the cross as a sacrifice. He was identified as the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He rose again from the dead on Easter morning, ascended to heaven, and is at the right hand of God. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. It is by receiving Christ as Savior and Lord and King that we have hope for the future. In our gospel lesson, our Lord talks about two resurrections. One is for the present time. I tell you the truth, his time is coming and has now come. It's here. This resurrection, he says, is the time has come when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. I tell you the truth, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be condemned. He has crossed over from death to life. The New Testament describes our natural condition as being spiritually dead. And when you heard the scripture today, the words of Jesus, did you hear what Jesus said? Because people who are dead do not hear, and they cannot respond unless a mighty God does a great work in their life. Listen to Jesus, I tell you the truth, a time is coming and has now come when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God and those who hear will live. He's talking about a spiritual resurrection. And if that spiritual resurrection has taken place in your life, you have the Lord's promise that you have crossed over from death to life. You have eternal life and will not be condemned because of your faith in Jesus. As heaven is not something that we can achieve or earn or deserve, but it is through faith in God's Son. Along with that, people should expect to see some evidence of new life, some observations of faith, especially by those close to us. When I asked Shane what he would like to have mentioned about his father, he said that in his later years, Willard became more expressive to his family about his love for them, and also more expressive about his faith. And he would call daily to find out how Shane and family were doing, want to know about his grandchildren. He saw a change in his father's life. In the gospel lesson, Jesus spoke of two resurrections, one for the present time, a spiritual resurrection, and a second resurrection for the future regarding the body. Jesus said, "For as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son to have life in himself, and he has given him authority to judge because he is the Son of Man. Do not be amazed at this, for a time is coming when all who are in their graves will hear his voice and come out. Those who have done good will rise to live, and those who have done evil will rise to be condemned." Jesus and his disciples taught very clearly a future bodily resurrection. This is a general resurrection. It's for everyone. Jesus said, all who are in their graves, the good and the evil, one resurrected to life, the other resurrected for punishment. In the church, we confess this in the creeds. The Apostles' Creed, I believe in the resurrection of the body. In the Nicene Creed, and we look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Now, that's going to be amazing. We've never seen anything like that, but we believe it by faith because God does not lie. Death is not the end. In the Revelation passage, we read of a new heaven and a new earth, a beautiful city for the people of God, where people live in the presence of God, and because of that, there's no more crying or pain or sickness or death. The curse of sin will be gone. Everything will be made new. And God's people will have an existence far more wonderful than you and I know right now. We want to affirm the statement of the Catechism. God is able to do this because he is Almighty God and desires to do this because he is a faithful Father. He will turn to my good whatever adversity he sends upon me in this sad world, even death itself. What is your only comfort in life and in death? Catechism and question answer one states that I'm not my own, but belong body and soul in life and in death to my faithful Savior Jesus Christ. He has fully paid for all my sins with his precious blood and set me free from the tyranny of the devil. He also watches over me in such a way that not a hair can fall from my head without the will of my Father in heaven. In fact, all things must work together for my salvation. Because I belong to him, Christ, by his Holy Spirit, assures me of eternal life and makes me wholeheartedly willing and ready from now on to live for him. We'll close the service in prayer today, and I'll also include a prayer for the lunch that we'll have as we recess following the hymn down the back step into the Cedar Fellowship Hall, and you can go to the counter for lunch. Let's pray together. Almighty God and loving Father, help us not to doubt your promises, but to trust you completely. Go with us when we go out to the cemetery. In your mercy, grant safe travel to all on the homeward journey. As we have a time of fellowship around the table, we ask your blessing on the food, your blessing on those who prepared it, and also our conversation, that the words we speak would build others up in the faith. We ask this through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Our closing hymn is number 460, Amazing Grace. We will stand as we sing 460.